RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Well, I think he'll definitely hear boos, and I think he'll hear fire Tomlin chants if the Steelers get down in this game like they do in every playoff game. It is a de facto playoff game. It's a play-in game between the Steelers and Ravens, one that was entirely preventable. This could be an R&R week for the Steelers. Instead, they've got to deal with Derrick Henry now. And we got our first caller of the show getting upset at us that we have the gall to question or ask fans if they would trade a loss for a Tomlin firing here on Sunday.
You know, something I should do for 2026, I like to try to be the record keeper of the show. Now, you got the photographic memory, but you forget stuff sometimes. I think I should really try to have, like, a diligent award for, like, truly most memorable call. You know, where it isn't like a Paul in Washington where he says, like, some sing-song rhyme about Derek Shelton and we laugh about it. Because I think this exchange from the first segment of the show is up there for 2025. You say to the caller, Aaron Rodgers' playoff record since Super Bowl 45 is 7-9. His immediate response is, oh yeah? Well, what's Aaron Rodgers' playoff record? It's just, it's amazing how fired up people get, and it's all in service, in his case, of a blind defense of a head coach who has not been competitive in a playoff game since when? When would you say, is the Jacksonville game even considered? They scored with no time left to make it a three-point game.
They got down big to Buffalo. They managed to make it at least
one-score game
competitive.
For a hot second, it was a one-score game.
Yeah. I mean,
the Browns game was over by the end of the first quarter.
The 2016 AFC divisional game that they won against the Chiefs where they didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah, they got blown out against the Patriots. They really weren't close against Jacksonville. They were close briefly against Buffalo. So he has not had a close,
but
competitive playoff game in a decade.
I actually, now that I've had a few minutes to decompress from that phone call, I think that was a guy who was more defensive about the ripping of Rodgers off the Browns game than Mike. Like, oh, you guys, go ahead. Count out Aaron Rodgers at your own peril, at your own risk.
I think I will, because in balance this season, he's been a bottom third of the league quarterback.
He's not Russell Wilson. Touche, he's not. He's not a guy that got benched in New York and is breaking up fights between, what's the name of the former, Jamal Adams and Jameis Winston.
Correct.
On Sunday. You're right. He's not a guy that's, you know, toxic positivity Russ.
If you had to guess, though, right now, I would guess it's more likely than not that if the Steelers do make the playoffs, and one thing that'll surprise caller Steve is that if you ask me to put money on this game today, right now, on the money line, I'd probably put money on the Steelers because it just feels like one of those games they'll end up winning somehow. But if they were to do that and get to the playoffs, much greater chance that Aaron Rodgers' first playoff game here is his last, and goes very similarly to Russell Wilson's one playoff game, which is whoever they play runs them over and it's not competitive. I don't know. I guess I'm surprised because we all watch the same games here. The people listening to this show,
the last
that we
guy
value,
basically said, hey, don't undersell the Browns. Look at what they did to the Bills.
Okay. Yeah, they still lost the game.
They got smoked in the first half, and they played much better defensively when Allen was on one
leg. We all watch the same games. We all watch the league at large.
I'm starting to question that.
I'm amazed that people come to conclusions that aren't just different, but are like 180 degrees different.
Here's Nate on the Parkway. Hello, Nate.
Hey, man. I'm calling in mainly because I want to talk about, you know, I'm frustrated with you guys, but not for the same reason that Aaron Rodgers' number one fan is. I want to talk about that radio malpractice that went on for 2.5-3 weeks. I called in and argued with you not that long ago when we were championing the cause because we managed to beat up on the mighty, you know, Miami Dolphins and a Ravens team with Lamar Jackson that's practically out there on crutches, you know, and we're talking about at the time, you know, oh man, these boo Mike Tomlin, fire Mike Tomlin chants aren't, you know, aging well. And I'm still confused. To be fair,
I said that people were more than right to chant it when they chanted it. I never said that they didn't age well.
But they didn't age well for 3 weeks. Now they've aged appropriately. Now they're back to being right.
They did if you got a high football IQ, if you could watch a game and realize that they're playing bottom feeder teams that weren't going to make the playoffs.
They were playing bottom feeder teams. Those are garbage teams.
They weren't okay. Which we just did this. Who's making the playoffs there?
They're not good teams. But they're not. They didn't beat the Raiders. They didn't beat the Raiders, Giants, and Jets in three straight weeks.
Okay, but they didn't beat a single playoff team in that stretch.
Yes, and I said as much after the Lions game. I literally came on after. After the Lions game and said, this seems to be an interesting time for people to get on the bandwagon when they beat three teams that are six games under 500.
It was an interesting time for you to take that take because of those three wins, that was the best one, and that was when all of a sudden you couldn't believe that people might be thinking, you know, maybe it's not time to fire Tomlin.
People were saying, like Starkey, that they could go to the Super Bowl, and I found that to be insane.
Oh, my God. Come on. We're taking Joe Starkey. Is this what we're doing now? Are we citing Joe Starkey here for these BS opinions? Come on, guys.
Well, whose opinions?
You know, it's a bad team with a bad coach. You got to fire him.
Okay.
You had to fire him.
Was the main point of this call to position yourself as a person of high football IQ?
No, it was to say that I cannot believe that all of a sudden you guys had all this opportunity on the radio to open your eyes and say, you know what, man? Yeah, congratulations on the three wins. This team still sucks, and that coach needs fired. But instead, we were talking about, like, you know, oh man, maybe this is a team that's not so bad. You know, the mighty hot Miami Dolphins coming off of a couple of wins. I mean, come on.
I mean, one of those wins was them beating the Bills by 17.
I mean, yeah. I honestly think the answer here is in the middle. I know that nuance is not going to work in sports talk radio, so I'm not going to try to make it happen.
Well, but I'm also just going to defend myself on the grounds that I never said people were out of line for chanting fire Tomlin, that it was valid then, and it was valid even after they started winning games because they were playing like dog crap when they were chanting it, and they deserved to have their voices heard.
I don't disagree with that.
I'm not backing off that an inch.
Okay, but they didn't age well for three games.
The only time I really started to think in that three-game winning streak that they might have something going was when they took it to the Lions, who were desperate.
Yep.
And even then, I said to you on the ride-up,
no, but you even said the Miami win was impressive because of how hot Miami had been.
And they also just handled their business in the second half, yes, which is good to see. Even, like, I will admit, even before the Browns game got played, that Lions game looked worse.
Yeah.
Because they went out and looked awful against a worse team and never even made that game competitive, really. So, like, people, here's the problem. Because Mike has been here for so long and because we've had similar conversations for so long.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious about this.
No, I know. I'm listening.
People are exceptionally dug in to the point where individual game results really don't matter.
Yes.
And so you and I do try to live week to week somewhat with this team because it would be insane to just come on after like a four-game winning streak and say, this team sucks, I hate it. But that is how many fans do feel about them.
And I'm not like in the mood to defend what the Steelers are doing, but it's preposterous to say they suck. They don't suck. Does the coach need fired because it's stale and it happens every year, pretty much smack dab in the middle, and you're not a real contender? Yes, and it's repetitive and it's monotonous, and there's really not a lot of hope that you're going to be anything more than that. There's a pretty firm floor on what this team is, and it's pressed right up against the ceiling.
Correct.
And people are sick of that. But to come on the air and say, I'm the football authority, this team sucks. No, it doesn't. It does not suck.
They are the definition of an average football
team. They're 15th offensively and they're 15th defensively.
And guess where 15th...
That is the definition of average, man.
And guess where 15th in the league would get you? First team out of the playoffs.
Yes.
They are exactly what they are.
There's 32 teams in the league. They are right at the middle line. And I'm also tired of it.
But here's a question. If they're what we say they are, which is basically an average football team,
yep,
but we know weird stuff can happen and does in the playoffs, like
yes,
a team with a losing record can win a game.
Yes.
If they get in, I think, which is entirely possible, possibly yep, better than 50-50 right now.
Yes.
And then win a game.
Yep.
And then maybe are competitive in the divisional round and almost win.
Right.
Does that materially change anything about them?
It probably doesn't, but think about what you just said. We live in a world where 7-9 teams, 8-8 teams have won playoff games. Mike Mularkey's won a playoff game. Doug
Wasn't
Marone
it a
9-7
Giants team that pulled the biggest upset since Super Bowl III? Weren't they a 9-7 team? No, that, or is that an 11-5
that was
or
the,
10-6
That was the 2011 team that
still
went 9-7.
Beat the Patriots.
Still, right. But what I'm saying is, my overall point is, we see average football teams, to your point, win a playoff game almost every year. This team hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. There are some Steelers fans that get sick of hearing that brought up. It's brought up because it shouldn't be this hard to win one game in January. One in almost a decade. When the Giants have won one more recently, and the Browns have won one more recently, and the Bengals have gone to a Super Bowl. We can go on and on. If the Broncos win a playoff game this year, that list of teams that have had a longer playoff win drought than the Steelers is going to dwindle by another number, by another team.
Do you want
to
know?
We're getting close to counting that part of the NFL, including the Steelers, on one hand.
Do you
want to
know something that's going to sicken people, but it's true? The Las Vegas Raiders have come closer to winning a playoff game more recently than the Steelers
have. Yeah,
they
had to play in Cincinnati.
They went into Cincinnati. They went into Cincinnati and had a very real chance to win that football game.
All right, here is Chris in Tennessee next. Hello, Chris.
Good afternoon. Happy holidays, guys.
You too.
I wanted to say, both of you, you're spot on today. This is probably, in a long time anyway, in my opinion, the most truthful and honest and straightforward start of the show that you've had in a long time. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer that 8 out of 10, maybe even 9, want him gone. And the numbers dictate all that.
Thanks, Chris.
Man, a few words.
I mean, there's nothing that's been dishonest about what I've said after Steelers games for the last few weeks. It's just that the people that are dug in as Tomlin extreme haters don't want to even give any credence or any credit or any props at any point now.
To be fair, though, I think you are viewed out on the outside, and I would even say I think this is a fair view most of the time, as an extreme Tomlin hater, but you do seem to change your opinion on him more than they do. There is definitely a subset of people for whom no regular season result would matter. They could go 13-4, would not matter.
Yeah.
Like, there is, and I think there's a pride, but by the way. There is also a pride in not changing your opinion on him among the most dug in. Actually, on both sides, because I hear people, I've already gotten at least one person say, because I had a sarcastic tweet to put our live Twitter feed out there today about the AFC Championship Week nonsense. There's somebody who routinely is in my mentions who's a big Tomlin backer who said, he's just a smart coach putting it in the rearview mirror and looking ahead through the windshield. So there are people on both extremes of this who are very proud of being very dug in at all times.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Mike Tomlin has played against Derrick Henry probably between a half dozen and 10 times. Today, he dubbed him the Big Runner.
I love that.
Didn't say Henry one time.
I love it.
Every time he referred to him, he said the Big Runner.
I don't know why. I am very tired of many of the cliches that get spewed at the Tomlin presser. He's admitted that he talks a certain way to get his guy's attention. He talks a certain way to manipulate the media even. Calling him the Big Runner is just, I don't know. It's quaint almost. What would he call Myles Garrett? The Big Rusher? The Big Pass Rusher?
When will he get Mr. Henry status?
I think he kind of has it.
I think this is his way of calling him Mr. Henry.
So wait, we got Mr. Jack. We know he had Mr. Jackson status. Was it? Did Burrow get there? I don't think he did.
I believe Mr. Taylor was one.
Did Garrett? I thought he grudgingly gave Garrett Mr. status.
Even I don't think he did.
No, because of the Rudolph thing he was still raw over. I thought Mr. Burrow maybe.
He did.
So those are the two. I think the Big Runner might be the biggest Mike Tomlin superlative that he can offer. Oh, you know, the Big Runner. We've got to stop him.
All right, I have a question for you off of this.
I'm ready.
Quick aside, and then we'll get back to calls. When Ed Bouchette was our Steelers insider.
Yes.
And was the Steelers representative, the Pittsburgh representative, when it came to Hall of Fame voting.
Yes.
His argument for Jerome Bettis was always that he was the best big back of all time.
Okay. Like a unique force.
Has Derrick Henry took that away from him?
Yeah, I think he's taken that mantle. Now, one of the funny things is Jerome Bettis, I was just watching an old clip from like Monday Night Football in the Dierdorf era where Bettis, who was listed at 5'11", 252, he's shimmying and dancing in the backfield and making somebody miss, and Dierdorf goes, that man is 250 pounds!
So is Henry.
Here's the thing. Derrick Henry probably is about 255, like he's listed. Bettis would be like the supersize, like the XXL back, right? Because he was playing at 275 at least. There's no way he was playing at 252. I don't care if it looks different on a guy who's 5'11 versus 6'2, 6'3.
Touchdowns are Henry by a landslide. He's got 122 and Bettis at 91. Yards is still yards, Bettis.
Yards per carry is Henry by a full yard. He's at 4'9. Bettis finished his career at 3'9.
Yeah. I think outside of Pittsburgh, if you ask people this question, they would say Henry and they wouldn't even hesitate.
Well, how does Henry... Here's a question.
Henry got off to a slow start in his career because they were giving Deion Lewis the ball.
Bettis
I love Deion, but still, that's pretty crazy.
Bettis' peak, because he had the weird bad year for the St. Louis Rams before the trade.
Yep.
Bettis' peak is realistically 96-01, six seasons. Those six seasons, he averaged 15 games played, 1,300 yards, seven touchdowns, and he was a 4.1 yards per carry guy. If I'm going to play this little same game with Derrick Henry's prime, you can figure he's getting to 1,000 yards in 21 if he doesn't get hurt, right? Eight games in, he's at 937.
Oh, 100%.
He's going to have a monster year.
Yep.
His prime functionally will start at 2019 when he first led the league in rushing and was the unquestioned starter. His prime since then, he's averaged 1,500 yards over a 15-game season average, 14 touchdowns and 5 yards
insane.
A carry. I'm sorry, it's Derrick Henry, man. And if you want to create a supersized back category for Bettis because it was so unique, fine. But one of these two dudes has track star speed and is easily the scariest running back in the league to actually have to tackle. In my opinion, Derrick Henry is like the closest thing us modern day people will ever see to what Bo Jackson would have been had he not gotten hurt so much. Big guy who was also, like, huge guy.
That being
who
said,
was faster than everyone.
I don't care what the touchdown total is, which is not a great way to start an argument because it's already maybe defeating part of my argument.
Okay.
If I needed a back to get 1 yard, I would take Bettis over Henry.
This will surprise you. I would, too, because I think Henry's pretty bad in short yardage. In fact, I don't have, like, the...
I think Henry's got to get that head of steam going.
Well, we don't have that... You know how you see all of those true media stats that people put out there? Like, that company? They only sell it to like for like humongous amounts of money, so I don't think we have it here. But they've looked him up as like a short yardage success rate guy. He's not good at it. He's objectively bad at it, for especially like given how big he is. Kareem Hunt for most of this year was the best short yardage back in the game.
That's for, wild.
Kareem Hunt was like an all-time monster at like third or fourth and 2-1. Yeah, you're right, though. I would take Bettis in that situation.
Here's Robinson in Cincinnati, of all places. Hello, Rob.
Hey, how y'all guys doing?
Hey, man.
What's up, man?
I'm doing well, man. I love the show, man.
Thank you.
Thank you,
guys. A couple of callers ago, man, I mean, what they say on the take about Mike Tomlin, I mean, I understand, but my take is Mike Tomlin should have been fired 5 years ago, man. In my opinion, everybody keeps saying he's a great coach on all these shows. How is this man a great coach? I don't understand it. He's a great motivator to me. He motivates his teammates. He motivates everybody on the squad. I understand that. But this guy to me should have been let go. He's a great motivator. He's not a great coach. But I understand what they're saying. So my thing is, we need a new coach. We need a new start.
Well, that's the bigger thing for me. I mean, the great motivator, he didn't really do a good job of motivating his team in Cleveland. They got down 10-0.
I think he's a better defensive tactician than a lot of people at this point give him credit for. I do think he knows what he's talking about. He's never going to sit there in a press conference and tell Christopher Carter, no matter how many times he asks, what his like strategic plans are.
Sure.
But to the point, and I'll let you get to whatever you want to get to, I think the time where it would have been completely defensible to walk away from him would have been everybody rips the Band-Aid off at once. He
Agreed.
Goes out, Ben goes out,
yep.
Everybody goes out after. And like the catalyst would have been perfect. Perpetual little brother comes into your building in the playoffs and puts 28 on you in the first quarter. Everyone should have walked away after that and started over, but they didn't.
Colbert, Tomlin.
Everybody. Ben. Ben should have done it too. You don't always get like a happy hero's ending
in
sports.
To go back to Bettis, you don't get that all the time.
Right.
Not a good year, though, to make the argument that Tomlin's a great defensive coach.
No.
If it's his defense, which I think it is, it's a $170 million defense, and they're 15th in scoring defense. They're supposed to be top five at worst.
Okay,
they're 15th.
I guess I got to clarify something. The main reason I push back and say I think he's a better tactician on that side of the ball and knows defense is when somebody says he's just good at motivating people, I do think that is like flattening and almost embarrassing to him, like demeaning to him. Because then it suggests that he really has no actual skills as a coach, and they'd be better getting like some fan from the 500 level to just come down and yell at the players and be like, you guys are awesome, you're the best, and let somebody else do everything. I don't think that is true. I think that's way too...
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, we are live today, and we're all here except, well, we're not. Two-thirds of us are here. That's better than most shows this time of year. People are taking the holiday season off. I get that. I and Malzi could not help ourselves to come in and talk today because I guess it's possible. I wouldn't say there's a high percentage chance, but there's at least, according to Adam Schefter, some chance that we just heard the last Tomlin Tuesday. Ever. Right? They lose to Baltimore. Schefter's telling of the potential story. He goes into Art Rooney's office and says, I'm done with this, and then goes and works for Fox or another team next year.
I'll tell you what, given all of his statements to the contrary about how he loves being the coach of the Steelers, Pony, if that were to actually happen, we would change his name officially. You ready?
Yeah.
He would cease to be Mediocre Mike. He would, at that point, after a decision like that, become Mercurial Mike.
Are you hoping this is the last Tomlin Tuesday ever? 412-928-9370. I'll throw that out there to our listeners. Are you hoping that we just heard him do his Tuesday 30-minute routine of break down the previous game, go through the injuries, preview the following opponent like they're the 78 Steelers or the 85 Bears, and then get asked that requisite first question by Dulac?
Which is always, it's almost always like something kind of in the weeds that is not like the hot topic.
Get snooty with Brooke Pryor once or twice at press conference. Have the Steelers PR czar 25 minutes in say, anything else?
Have you ever heard that from Bert Lauten so many times that you've ever had like just a random dream that's work related and you hear his voice go, anything else?
No, but
you just wake up and start.
I should incorporate anything else into my own verbiage here.
I think when Stella starts like asking you for
anything else?
Yeah, Stella starts saying, Daddy, I want this, Daddy, I want that. You hit her with, anything else? Two more.
I mean, I am hoping it's the last one. I'll come out and say it. I was happy and pleased and appreciative of the 3-game winning streak and the Steelers getting back into it and looking like they might be different and the AFC stinks and they can win a playoff game and this Aaron Rodgers thing was a good idea. The draft stinks, so it's not like they're missing out on good quarterbacks, all that.
Okay.
But I'm pretty much back where I was at the start of the year. I don't think they're ever going to win anything significant again as long as Mike Tomlin is the head coach. And everything else gets swapped out. The only two things that don't change are the owner and the head coach. And the owner is not going to sell the team tomorrow, or he's not going to retire. He's not going to take some kind of owner emeritus status with the team. He's going to continue to run it. So the next best thing is moving on from the head coach and no longer accepting the mediocre results of the last 9 years. They're only in the last, I think, 30 years, two coaches who got more of a leash or grace from their teams than Tomlin in terms of time spent with one team without winning a playoff game.
Marvin Lewis.
One is an easy one, Marvin Lewis. And the other is...
Was it Landry?
Playoffs.
Oh, no, it's Mora. Wow.
Jim Mora with that. The Saints got 11 years.
That's right. I forgot about that one.
Playoffs.
We're just trying to win a game.
Yeah. Like, that's the company you're keeping. You want to be compared to the Saints and Bengals as far as being loyal to a coach but not really seeing any dividends, any payoff, anything? I mean, it would actually give me such a, like, refreshing, reassuring perspective on art if this were to be the end of it. Because I agree with Schefter in that I think Tomlin would have to initiate it. But if Art's answer was, okay, versus, oh no, please, Mike, don't leave, and he's clinging onto his coattails or the bottom of his pants as he tries to...
Like, Tomlin's, like, shaking him off as he's got his one leg already out the door and he's just trying to shake him off like a tackler.
We were there. The more I've thought about what we watched on Sunday and processed it, I really do think it's his biggest Tomlin game of all time. There have been seasons where they've lost to bad teams and they've rallied to make the playoffs, and it's not a footnote, but it doesn't look as bad when you either win a playoff game or still end up accomplishing something in the season.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns are going to be a 4-win football team.
Mm-hmm.
Only 3 other times in his career has Mike lost to that bad of a team in a year where they missed the playoffs. Because remember, they rallied the year that they lost to the Patriots
and the Cardinals.
That
was the Mason Rudolph year.
So the other 3 games are 2018 against the Raiders. That's the X-ray game. Oh. I was there for that in Oakland.
That one is still...
I was there for that.
That, can I just briefly say, that one has the funniest slapstick element, right?
2012, Terrell Easily. Pryor goes for 93 yards. Raiders again.
We love Ryan Clark here.
Another four-win team.
We've had Ryan on many times. Ryan is still chasing what he thought was a handoff there.
And actually, in the Unleash Hell gambit, that whole run, their worst loss, and this never comes up, I had to double-check this. They lost to a Todd Haley Chiefs team that went 4-12 that year. Ben got hurt and missed a little bit of that game. Batch
that
went in.
I remember
they
that.
They lost to that team. They were an 11.5-point favorite on the road before the Chiefs became the Chiefs.
Once again, that's Coach Todd.
That was also the year after they won the Super Bowl. So I think you get a little bit of a mulligan or a little bit of a free pass, I should say, right after you put the Lombardi over your head and the confetti rains down?
Any criticism is leavened by you did just literally hoist the trophy.
Could have won the division on Sunday and they lost to, I won't even call them little brother.
It was like little brother trying to take a dive.
Yeah.
It was like fighting the Brooklyn Brawler in pro wrestling and like the Brooklyn Brawler just lays down in the center of the ring and you trip over him and get
pinned.
Little
brother didn't show up thinking like all my life I've waited for this day to finally beat
little
you
brother
and say
just,
I'm better than you.
Little brother just said, actually, can you just make it quick and knock me out and we'll both go on about our business. And for him to have the audacity to say like, welcome to AFC North Championship Week, Mike, I would much rather have done welcome to week that sets up for the playoffs because you're already in and I'm taking Friday off instead of working because now it's a huge
pre-game instead it felt like welcome to hell is what it feels like right now.
To your opening question here, I am going to try to say this without as much like, I think anger and malice as almost there is when people talk about Mike's future. When I say I'm hoping it's his last Tomlin presser, his last game, I say it in this context. I would hope that it heralds changes that go beyond him, that do impact the owner, where the owner maybe snaps to. And the main reason I want to see all that is because, and I think I've delivered this lament before on our show. I think you're probably already anticipating where I'm going to go with this, but it kind of is the whole story here, is that you say a lot of the same things when you talk about Mike Tomlin Steelers over the last 8 to 10 years.
He has said a lot of the same things on Tuesdays at noon, Chris. Although,
did he bust out a new one today with, well, we'll get to that on the Tomlinism maybe if you had the same mindset I did on it. It has the sameness of this team in how their seasons both look and end and how they get there, like what they actually look like on the field in many respects, i.e. too conservative, offensively pretty inept. And I would say even going back to like arm injury, Ben, was the last time they looked dynamic regularly, where he was still slinging it around and they had most of a full cast of characters there. But just like so, from 2019 on, the way it's looked has become such a bummer to watch. Like, I love football. You love football. Anybody listening to the show probably loves football. They have played a shockingly high percentage of games for such a glamour franchise that I think are just by and large hard to watch from an aesthetic standpoint. I would just love to feel like they are going to turn the page on something new. He's going to be done. Art's going to like take a step back because there's nothing tethering him now to the way it always is and say, maybe I should do things differently. Maybe my son should get more involved. I'd love it for all those reasons because it would at least be like a small glimmer of hope that they're going to change the way they do things because the way they have been doing things has become not only unproductive on the field in terms of the results it generates, but it's pretty uninspiring to watch. And so that's why I hope it's the end. Because I think this, it's like a relationship that ran out of steam years ago.
And you just stayed in it because everybody was comfortable.
You stayed in it because the kids needed to get to college or graduate college. Everyone doesn't want to put themselves out there again. And am I going to start dating or something like that? That's what it feels like. It feels like a relationship that should have ended in divorce years prior. And everybody involved is just kind of perpetuating the farce that it's still a happy marriage.
Do you think we're here until 6 today? 412-928-9370. If I offered up the Faustian bargain that the
Jerry Faustian bargain?
That the Steelers would lose on Sunday, but the reward to losing is 100% Tomlin isn't back here in 2026. You think Steelers fans make that deal?
I think if you put that poll question out there in those words, and you put your yes, no out there, would you make that deal? I would say yes is getting 80 plus percent. 8 out of every 10 people responding.
So you lose to the Ravens, but you miss out on the playoffs.
But the head coach who has been synonymous with the franchise for essentially 2 decades.
And he's gone.
He's gone. Even when you would have to factor in that the owner might still be the same, like kind of averse to change. I don't fire coordinators, basically. I wait for contracts to run out. So even if all of Art's negatives stay the same, but he has to go find a new head coach.
Yeah.
I think 8 out of every 10 people would take that bargain. I would.
412-928-9370. Bob says here that if Tomlin left on his own accord and Art couldn't stop him, Art would just try to keep the train on the tracks and he would promote Arthur Smith to head coach.
Ooh, that's a good question, what he would do.
He'd interview him.
He definitely would interview him.
But I think it would be such a breach from what his family has done.
To just like promote the next guy.
Yeah, out. I don't think he could bring himself to
Cowher
do it.
Cowher was on the radar maybe, but Cowher was still a guy who, bit of a projection. Noel was a bit of a projection.
Oh my God, they all were. You know, they're all coordinators. They weren't head coaches.
I guess my point is though that they've taken a stab and really gone 3 for 3. I know Mike's tenure has soured on the vine here, but they've won Super Bowls with all these guys. I'll say this about like the idea that Mike would be gone. I think it is orders of magnitude, or it would be orders of magnitude more heartening about the long-term direction of the franchise if it was Art who woke up in the morning after a bad loss, let's say. Like, say they're not competitive and they lose something like 31-10.
What if it looks like the playoff game last year?
31-10. They're just not in the game, right?
Yep.
They just get run over.
Mm-hmm.
If Art woke up on Monday morning and basically said to himself, well, frick this, or like, you know, did his version of like cussing and was just...
Frick this?
I was kind of a JerMichael Finley hybrid. Don't we know that Art hates
Frick
cussing?
Park?
Yeah. Aw, dang it. If Art woke up ticked Monday morning and said, Mike, I think we've reached like a terminal point in this relationship, I'd feel much better about the future just because it would be the guy deciding it. If Mike were to say, hey, Art, man, like I think we've all had enough here. I've had enough. I think it's time to turn the page. Like I owe it to this fan base. You owe it to this franchise, whatever. But it was Mike driving the bus on this decision, I would feel less good about it. I would in a way respect Tomlin for walking away from a lot of money and admitting that it just had soured. I would be very troubled by the fact that the owner would need to be told that by the guy walking away from the job.
Here's Steve on the fan. Hello, Steve.
How you doing today?
Hey, man.
I truly don't understand where you guys are going with this. I don't know what you have watched over the last few weeks, but you should realize when Tomlin is backed against the wall, what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you they are going to win,
yep,
and they're going to get hot in the playoffs.
No, they're not.
You watch. You watch.
Steve, did you watch the game Sunday?
It was a bad loss. Did you watch the Bills almost lose to Cleveland two
almost.
Weeks ago? Are they horrible?
Keyword, almost. Also, what did the Bills do in this building to the Steelers? This
that
year.
Doesn't matter. What did we
Why
do
doesn't it matter?
Game?
They might see the Bills in the playoffs. You said they're going to go on a run, Steve.
They won that game. But Steve, let me ask Steve.
What?
Steve,
you
hold, Steve, let's Steve, let's Steve, let's have let's Hang Steve, up. No, I'm not hanging up on you. I want to have a quick conversation with you. That's all. So,
okay, go ahead.
So, the idea that they would beat the Ravens, I think is entirely possible.
I think it's borderline likely right now.
I think it could absolutely happen. That's fine. I mean, I think reasonable Steelers minds, fans can agree, yeah, that might happen. You're saying, look at what he's done this year. What proof do we have that they can win multiple playoff games after they beat Baltimore? Give it to me.
The same concept that after they lost to the Bills, everybody wanted him fired.
And who did they beat in those three games?
Who did they beat?
Yeah.
You tell me.
They beat the Ravens, they beat the Dolphins, and the Lions. How many of those teams would be in the playoffs?
Well,
how many would be in the playoffs, Steve?
The Ravens.
No,
if the season ended.
No, because if
the
Steelers beat the Ravens,
second.
None of them are in. And I didn't even say yet I'm picking the Ravens to win. All I'm saying is we know how this movie ends. We've seen it before. If they make the playoffs, they lose in the playoffs in their first game.
With Aaron Rodgers. Have you seen Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, did you see him on Sunday against Shedeur Sanders? He is a... Steve,
did you see Josh Allen against
Steve, since he, did you see Cam Ward? Steve, since Aaron Rodgers beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl, do you know what his playoff record is?
What's that?
7-9.
Okay. What's Aaron Rodgers' playoff record?
I just gave it to you.
Okay.
Since he beat the Steelers, he's 7-9 in the playoffs.
Okay, that's 7 more wins than what we've had the last couple years, right?
But it's not good.
Steve, do you think that Aaron Rodgers has been a top half of the league quarterback in balance for the entirety of this season?
I would say the last 3 weeks.
No. For the whole season. Because the season matters. The whole season matters.
No, he has not.
Steve.
But it's playoff time. Listen.
It's playoff time. They just scored 6 points against the Browns.
Steve, is this a put-on, brother? Are you trying to get us all worked up to start the show?
Do
you actually believe this?
I'm telling you. I like Aaron Rodgers' chances in a playoff game.
Based on what?
I like Aaron Rodgers at home.
Based on what?
I think we can – based on his career.
Why do you like his chances so much in a playoff game?
You're right. 100% agree.
Oh, okay.
The last time he played a winner-go-home playoff game at home was his last game in Green Bay, and they lost.
Do you know how many points
they
scored?
Beat.
Do you know how many points they scored in that game?
How many?
Zero. Ten. Ten. Steve. Okay. Steve, who's he gonna throw the ball to on Sunday?
Well, we got to figure that out.
Yeah, thank you.
Steve's going to suit up for the Steelers.
He's got eligibility. He says, I don't know what you guys are talking about. We get to how they win the game. Well, they need to figure that out. No bleep. They need to figure that out. You want to trust this coach? Go ahead. I gave him the benefit of the doubt for 3 weeks. I said he was doing a good job. You lose me when you score 6 points in Cleveland. God bless Steve. I mean, they'll fill up the stadium with 68,000 on Sunday. I wonder how many people think not only that they're going to beat the Ravens, but this team is bound to go on a run. A run. This team gives me the runs. They scored 6 points. And he's like, I can't. You guys are on here talking about getting rid of Tomlin. You're damn right we are. I just gave you the records. Marvin Lewis and Jim Mora.
Marvin Lewis looked at as...
You want to be the Saints
kind
and Bengals?
Of a clown. Jim Mora absolutely looked at as a clown for a press conference. Marvin Lewis known for being catatonic on the sideline.
412-928-9370. Let's see if we can get some more fiery calls.
Do we want
next.
More Steves out there?
Are there
more Steves
out
there?
I'm not censoring anybody here. If more people feel like Steve, call in and call us idiots. Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line if you want.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.